Holy Spirit be with you all. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
The first reading is from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This psalm, number 146, is exciting and it's joyous. So please help me read it with exuberance. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my son, soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth, and on that very day their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets his prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God is for all generations. Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the 9th chapter. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into it. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, thank you, Kevin, for covering for me. We should definitely schedule both annual meetings on the same day. So, in Bible study, and Bible study. We've been slogging through the book of Acts, and most recently, as with, you know, like half of Acts, we've been traveling along with Paul, and week after week after week. And honestly, I'm a little sick of it. A little sick of hearing about Paul, not going to lie. I'm starting to feel a little like Jan Brady. It's always Paul, 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 or Saul, 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 depending on which part of Acts you're in. And but we just keep talking about him like he's just so important, right? And I do get it. I do get it. Paul, he is a singularly unique person and gifted. And he was called and equipped to witness to Jesus Christ in a very unique time, in a very unique place. I mean, think about it. Who better to convert non-believers than one who was so zealous himself in his non-belief that he had to be blinded into obedience by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus to get him to knock it off and to use his gifts for Christ? And who better to proclaim Christ as Messiah to Jews, you know, the Savior of the Jewish people, than Paul, who himself was a devout and learned Jew, who knew the law and knew all the prophets? And who better to proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified and risen to the Gentiles, than the Apostle Paul, who was a Roman citizen, which was not all that common among the Jews. But a Roman citizen who could travel with ease through the empire and used that to save his life many times during his witness. And he was one who was fluent in Greek philosophy. He understood the ways of learning and speaking, and he was a rhetorer, and he understood the reasoning and the arguing. Quite simply, no one was as equipped and gifted to do what Paul did as Paul. But still, I'm sick of hearing about it, Paul, okay? So when we were talking about it in Bible study this week, I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I am done with you, and I've got a Paul complex, right? He started making me feel bad about myself. Not for real long, just a little bit of time. I started judging myself, lessening myself, and I was wondering, compared to Paul, who exactly am I? I'm supposed to witness to Christ? By whose authority and by what insufficient knowledge that's packed into this brain could God call me to witness to Christ? God's called me. Really? Doubtful, because compared to Paul's gifts, what gifts do I possibly have to offer? Insignificant gifts. That's what? Meaningless. Piddly, measly gifts that add up to, I don't know what, maybe a couple copper dingy coins thrown into a collection plate. Just a tiny fraction of a day's labor. That's what I have to offer. It's a pretty insignificant gift, right? So how does that feel? Jeff, can you show us how that feels? Jeff's got a picture for us, I think. More like a painting, maybe. Uh-oh. That is a horrible picture. Uh-oh. Wait. It's not showing?
It was there earlier.
Was it?
We have a problem.
Before you got it.
Oh. We have a problem. Okay. I'm going to explain to you what this picture is. It's a picture by a French artist, James Tissot. And if you ever get it, if we get it up there, what we're going to figure out is it's a when you think of the woman, how do you think of this widow? Usually old and hunched over, right? Because that's what we would think of a widow, right? But how Tissot looks at her is he looks at her as a young woman with a child. And as she is rushing, so it's not the moment she's putting the coin into the treasury. No, it's the moment after she has done it. And she is rushing away, right? And as we are told in this story, guess what happens, right? So Jesus tells us, oh, is it there? Yes! Thank you, Jeff. So she's rushing away. She's rushing away. This is after. That look on her face. Tell me about it. Anybody. What does it look like? She's embarrassed, right? She is embarrassed. Now I got to find where I was. Keep looking. She's embarrassed. She feels judged, right? She feels shame, perhaps. And we remember, that's a woman who, according to Jesus, gave all. And then look at the other not so great people in that picture. Especially the dude all the way on this side. Look at him like glaring at her. That like kind of, what do their faces show? Judgment. So judgment, and then there is one who is judged. And she feels less than. She feels, I've given everything I have, and still to these people it isn't enough. She carries a child back home to back to her home, or probably lack of a home. And she's taking the to a place of not knowing what they're going to eat or if they're going to eat. And the looks that are given to her, those aren't looks of compassion. Those aren't looks of concern or empathy. No. We see looks of derision and judgment and contempt for this woman. Now, I'll tell you, if you've managed to make it through this life without external judgment, I feel great for you. Because people are always there to judge us, right? It's always going to happen. But what I think is important, are you ever both of those people in that picture at the same time to yourself? And by that I mean, are you both the judgy, deriding onlooker and the I've given all I have to give widow that wonders what else it is you're meant to give and to do? I mean, there's always something that you're meant to do, right? You got to earn it, whatever that it is in this world. And still, you can't shake that voice. That's not enough. You haven't given enough. You're not enough. You can't make a difference. Not with those two piddly coins, anyway. Your gifts, what you have to offer, they're just a drop in the bucket compared to that person over there, you know, the guy that's dropping money smugly into the treasury now. They are nothing compared to that guy. If only you had their gifts. But your gifts, kind of mid, right? Kind of meh. So for me in that Bible study, I was that was me comparing myself to the Apostle Paul, and I know I'm not normal, so don't even. I know most people aren't comparing themselves to the Apostle Paul. I get it. But all of us, pretty much all the time, are comparing ourselves to someone, aren't we? Aren't we? So it's almost impossible to not do this in a 24/7, always online, what have you done for me lately kind of world. So even as this widow is trying to escape this place, what does she hear? She hears behind her coins, big, heavy, silver coins clanking down into that treasury. And she remembers the sound of her little copper coins plunking in. She can't escape that judgment and how meaningless her gift is compared to theirs. It's natural that we all do this. But what happens next is so interesting. It's not, you would think, like, why wouldn't Jesus go talk to this woman and tell her, oh my gosh, your gift was so much. Thank you for giving everything you had. I don't think that's what the story is about. I wish it was sometimes when I feel like I've given everything and it doesn't feel enough. But Jesus doesn't do that because I don't think that's what he's getting at today. So I don't think that Jesus is trying to say that she is meant to give everything. Because in her giving everything in this picture, what's going to happen to that infant? Does Jesus really want for us to give everything so that our infant starves to death? Is that what Jesus wants for us? Is Jesus telling us to literally give everything or we're not worthy of the kingdom? So dig deeper into that pocket for whatever that money or energy or effort. Donate more of your time. Run yourself ragged into the ground because you don't want to be like the phony over there, over her shoulder, who's smugly putting coins into the coffer, do you? So a quite literal translation of what Jesus says here is she gave her whole life. She gave her whole life. And I don't think that this is how it is meant to be. Is this what Jesus wants for us and from us? Is this what God wants for us and from us? For us to feel like we need to earn it or at the very least die trying? I don't think so. Because Jesus here is to do something that we heard in that joyous psalm today, to set the captives free. And guess what? We're all captives to lots of things, but I'll say to ridiculous expectations that this world lays on us, to ridiculous expectations that we lay on ourselves, because we have to feel some kind of worth to earn something in this world. And guess what? Jesus is about to flip this world on top of its head because he is standing there in Jerusalem. And you know what that means? He's getting real close. He is getting real close to that cross. And when he does that, he will flip this world on its head. And he will say, I am the one. Not you, not the widow. I am the one who is going to give my life for all. To give my whole life. I'm going to give my life for that widow and for that orphan and for the hungry and for the strangers of this world. I'm going to give my life for the rich and powerful too that sit there and stare at her. Because, you know, we're those people. And I'm going to give my life for those who stare derisively inward at themselves, shaming themselves, telling themselves that they're not enough, full of self-loathing. He's saying, I, Jesus Christ, will give all my whole life so that all people, and I mean all people, will have abundant life forever and for nothing. And this is what will change and does change the why of the gift forever. The why of our gifts forever. We no longer give to gain anything. That's not what the giving is for. There's nothing for us to earn. Nothing at all. Not a single thing. Think about this. Think about it. There is nothing. Nothing for you to earn by giving. Does that make any sense? In the world that you live in, does that make any sense? No. And yet, that is what Jesus did. That's what I mean when I say he flipped the world on its head, because Jesus changed everything. And I know it's really hard to believe. I got to do something to earn my worth, right? It's so hard to believe. It is a struggle to believe, and I struggle to believe it too, and I spend almost every day trying to earn it, whatever it is, and it is exhausting. And I have a feeling I'm not alone in this. I'll bet everyone out here, well, maybe one of you has it all figured out and together, but every one of you out here spends a lot of their days trying to earn it. But there's nothing for us to earn. And when I search my soul really, really, really deep, I know this. I feel this. I know it to be true. And every once in a while, it's very fleeting. It grasps a hold of me. It happened like for 30 seconds while I was writing this sermon, and then it went away. And then giving, what happens of giving then? It becomes not about earning it. Or earning self-worth or earning worth in the eyes of others or earning love or earning salvation as if we could ever earn salvation. In these fleeting moments of,
of realization. I think we know it, we feel it, that we've been freed by Jesus Christ. We've been freed by him, by his gift of his whole life. Once we have been freed, there is only one thing that there is for us to do. Our grateful response then is to give. Giving is not about earning anything. Giving is a grateful response to what Christ gave. And when we do this, that is when we bring glimpses of God's love and justice to the here and the now by using our gifts to love and to serve the Lord and therefore our neighbors. That psalm that we heard, all of those people that God came for, that is how God's kingdom comes into the here and the now, by us using our freedom in Jesus Christ to love this world. It frees us from comparing our gifts to others. For me, comparing weirdly my gifts to Paul's. It frees you from comparing yourself to that person on Facebook or TikTok, if that's your thing. You know, that one, that influencer that has it all together. Or, you know, even in your real lives, not your Facebook lives, that one person that you're constantly comparing yourself to. When I just said it, you've got your name, you've got the face in your mind. Who is that person that you always compare yourself to and think, if only I was more like that person? You don't need to compare yourself to that person. Let that person have their own gifts. We don't need to compare ourselves to anyone because we have our own gifts, right? What are your many gifts? The ones that you have been freed to share with this messy, messy world, a messy, messy world that needs your gifts. Gifts that witness to God's love for the world here and now. And you know what a really fun question to ask people in Bible study is? What are your gifts? And you know what they do? They like, oh, pick me first, Pastor Sean. No, they don't do that. I said, okay, Paul had a lot of gifts. What about you? What are your gifts? And I know it's really hard to imagine what happened next. Nothing. Just silence. Crickets. So, you know what I did? I was like, you're paying me for this. I'll wait. And then more crickets, and then eventually someone broke the quiet, and they said, can you ask the question again? I was like, sure. What are your gifts? And then, wouldn't you know it, just all of them. No, they didn't say anything. And I was like, okay, I'll go first. Obviously, my gift is that I'm hilarious. Wow. Maybe I've mischaracterized my gift. And I didn't maybe quite say it like that. It sounded more like I think I've given a gift of using a little bit of humor to connect with others, to help them hear old things in new ways, and to use that to make them think and take a message home with them. Or, you know, something like that. And at that point, one person sheepishly, I can't say that word, spoke up. And she said, I think my gift is joy. And then she said a bit more, and she said, I guess saying it out loud made me tear up a little bit. And I must say that Marsha's gift truly is joy. So whenever she has a joy-filled interaction with someone, I think it is that she may think is worth nothing, that she may think is worth two measly copper coins, that may very well be everything to someone. To a someone who desperately needs to feel God's love for them proclaimed in her joy. And that is exactly how God's kingdom is breaking into the here and now today. So each of you, think of just one gift. And then eventually many gifts, but just one gift. And then go out and talk to someone or lots of people about it out loud. Name it, embrace it, tear up over it. Do this. Because sitting around, Dick was there. When you sit there and you have that conversation with people and you are forced to think out and name your gifts out loud with people, it changes you. It makes you think about what God is calling you to do and how your gifts are being used for God's inbreaking kingdom. How are your gifts used to serve that inbreaking kingdom in the here and now? And are you being called to use them differently and in new ways than you are right now? Or maybe you're using them exactly how you're supposed to be. Maybe that's where you are. And that's great. But name them out loud. So this is homework or maybe like over brunch work today for you all. Here's the thing, my dear siblings in Christ. We are not Paul, or Saul, and none of you are Sean. Thank God there is only one of me. Nor are you supposed to be like me, and I am not supposed to be like Paul. Share your gifts with this world, whether it is humor or joy or, you know, thinking you're funny, I don't know, or music or listening or compassion or empathy, vision. Maybe you're really organized and that helps people. Maybe you are great at accounting. Maybe you are just so good at maintenance on buildings that they can be used in service of God's inbreaking kingdom. Maybe you're good at cooking or cleaning, or you have a love for service or the patience of Job, which I do not. And I am grateful for your gift of patience. But don't share these gifts because you have to. Share these gifts because you've been freed to. And I got to be honest, I still have a little bit of a Paul complex. I still want to be a little like Paul. And each one of you is still going to look at your neighbor and be like, I wish I had that gift that they had. And that's never going to go away. But here's the thing. I am not Paul. I'm never going to be Paul. And if I learned something in writing this sermon this week, is I know I'm not supposed to be. Because if I try to be Paul, I will not be the Sean that God created me to be. So my challenge and my encouragement for you is to be the you that God created you to be and share the gifts that you were given. And I can promise you that you will be everything to someone. I'm going to say that again. Be the you that God created you to be. Share the gifts that you were given. And I guarantee you that you and those gifts will be everything, and I mean everything, to someone. This is how we are going to witness to God in this new and present age. This is how God is causing the kingdom to break into the here and now, to break the old ways of this world. We have been freed by the one who gave all for us to share our singularly unique gifts in this singularly unique time and place as witnesses to God in this world here and now today. And for that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Come on.
And now, brothers and sisters, I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, for the church, and for all of creation.
Renew your church, O God. Make us servants to one another for the sake of the gospel. Instill a heart for service and passion, for justice for our bishops, Elizabeth and Daniel, our pastor, Sean, and lay leaders. First Lutheran's Council and Committee, remembering your call to execute justice for the oppressed, give food for the hungry, set the prisoners free, and open the eyes of the blind here in Galleon and beyond. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. Renew the nations, O God. We pray for an end to war and all the injury and death that it brings. Guide leaders of the world to peacefully resolve conflicts and violence, especially in the Middle East, in Russia and Ukraine, in parts of Africa and Southeast Asia, in Haiti, and in parts of Central and South America. In the United States, we pray for reconciliation after what has been a brutal and divisive season. Send us, your people, with a message of peace and unity, that we may be beacons of hope to our community, to this nation, and to this world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Renew your people, O God. Protect those in our communities who are vulnerable or ill, especially Jean, Joe, Haley, Troy and his family, Paige, Robin, Phil, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Bill, Linda.
For Rod, for the Castle family, for Chad, for Denise, and for Carol.
And for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Accompany the forgotten and marginalized, those who are unemployed or underemployed, children who are in foster care, and those who live alone. Watch over and uphold them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Renew those who have served, O God. Heal our nation's veterans from the unseen wounds of war and the wounds that are seen, and move lawmakers to enact policies that provide real assistance to veterans and their families for the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual traumas that have resulted from their service. Make our faith communities welcoming spaces that tend to the needs of all who have worn the uniform. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Renew this congregation, O God, as we gather today to conduct the business of your church. Give us clarity in our mission and boldness in witness. Remind us of our call to witness to Christ crucified and risen in word and deed by offering a place of hope and respite to the forgotten, ignored, overlooked, and ostracized. Grant us discerning hearts as we, the Spirit, evaluate our missions. The old and thriving, those in need of pruning, those at the end of their life, and those that are new, that we may best steward the gifts of this congregation for the good of your people. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. And God, we lift to you today the Galleon City Schools. We lift today all who are, and all of us who are impacted by the results of elections, whether they be local, regional, state, or national. We pray for the electorate that it continues to be safe for us and for all elected officials, those who wait to take office. Please protect this nation, and please continue to be with us as we continue to exercise our liberty from year to year as we vote. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Our offerings. I'll take some. Thank you. Oh, no, you're fine. I'm used to Lydia giving it to me.
Jesus, our portion and our cup, you offered yourself in love for the world. And in this meal, you nourish us with your life. Fill us with your abundance, that we may feed the hungry and welcome the stranger, trusting in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to this table, all you who have little and so much to offer. And come and get the gift and receive the gift at this table. Gifts that are abundant and always welcome. Wow, messed that up. I'm going to start that over. come to this table where you are always welcome and receive these gifts that are abundant and always flowing. Eat, drink, and hear, be restored.
Amen.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
The hot new trick.
Try it. And now may the body and blood of, no, you can stay sitting. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Okay, so before we do our dismissal and blessing, we are going to bless our Operation Christmas Child gift. So what I would like for our childs to do, any youth who would like to come forward, and as I am doing this blessing, just kind of go around and touch the different boxes to be a part of this blessing. Come on, someone, you're leaving me hanging here. All right, do it more reverently there, Ben. Let us pray. We don't need to, yeah. Loving God, we pray for your blessing of these Operation Christmas Child boxes. We pray for the hurting children and their families that these small gifts may express your abundant love. We pray especially that through these gifts, the hearts of the children and their families will know and hear the love and message of your grace through Jesus Christ. We pray for children and families who are suffering in the desperate circumstances of poverty, sickness, and war, that you may meet their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. We pray for all those who are participating in some way in this mission, that for the process of purchasing, packing, collecting, processing, transporting, and delivering these boxes to their destinations. Providing God, we pray that you would open the way for these shoeboxes to be delivered to people who need to know your love for them. To this end, in faith, we ask for your blessing on all who have given on these gifts and for those who will receive them. Amen.
Amen.
Announcements. I don't know where my thing is.
I think I have special ones in here somewhere written down.
So, you know, if you were if you were bored with the worship service, we have a really exciting congregational meeting afterward. Please, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll convene in here for that. Catechism at noon or whenever that is over. And then this week we have First Supper at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Please join us for that. Is there still a sheet, still some stuff that needs on it? So take a look at that on your way out. Thursday, committee night fellowship starts at 5:30, and I think I have somehow managed every time I was supposed to cook, get out of it. And I don't think I've gotten out of it this time, so I think I'm supposed to provide the food for that on Thursday, so I think y'all should show up. Committee night then at 6 o'clock, and then our council meeting for the month is at 7. Kevin, I have a little note in here about pancake breakfast on Saturday, November 23rd at 9 a.m. You want to say something about that? Or Mike, I don't care.
That's pie.
That's pie. Yes, Kevin gets very excited about pie. You know, maybe you would get more people more excited about pancake breakfast if you served pie as with pancakes.
Wait a minute, they've got the best cooks, the cutest servers.
Dick.
We do have two new recruits this year, my mom and my little Doug. So please come down, pass a good time, visit, hang out.
And if you want to some way be involved in that, let us know, and I'm sure we can find something for you to do. So, on Friendsgiving, is there anything additional that you would like to announce about that? Sign-up sheets? So, anyway, and as always, that is the Friday after Thanksgiving. So, one more thing. Mike.
Along with that Friendsgiving dinner, please, and I say to you, we need pie.
All right, seeing and hearing or asking for no more announcements, let us stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and with mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.